Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to analyze the ACC, and I'm going to give you my prediction for which team is best set up to prevail. Now, in years past, the ACC has been ruled by Clemson and Florida State mainly, and they've just kind of dominated, giving power back and forth, back and forth. But as it seems to be the trend this year, the ACC is way more wide open than it's ever been. And that obviously has a lot to do with conference realignment and things of that nature. But the other part of it is there is just a plethora of returning production to numerous contenders. And so we'll do a quick synopsis. The ACC is going to add three teams this year, California, SMU, and Stanford. And so one thing that really stands out to me when we look at how deep this conference is and how competitive it is, there are six teams with a win total of 8.5 or more. The only conference in all of college football that has more than that is going to be the SEC. Now, there isn't a lot of coaching turnover in the ACC this year, not nearly as high as in some of the other conferences. And we have, three new head coaching changes, five offensive coordinators, five defensive coordinators. Now, I'm not really going to touch base on these teams simply because none of them are viable contenders for the conference. So unless you were like a hardcore fan of one of those teams, it's really not relevant to what we're trying to uncover here. So without further ado, the team that I see prevailing that is going underlooked by pretty much everybody is SMU. And the reason is there's just numerous examples that they just check so many boxes for me. Firstly, they are one of five teams that are in the top 40 in offensive and defensive returning production and that has a top 40 S&P plus offense and defense ranking from last year. And so by the end of this episode, you will see that SMU checks more than enough boxes to prevail in this conference and possibly even make a bid at the playoffs. So without that, we're just going to jump into it, and we're going to start on the offensive side of the ball. SMU has an offensive returning production of 16th overall, and they were 23rd in offensive S&P plus last year. Now, this offense seems unbalanced a little bit, but it is very elite in certain areas. And so their offensive success rate, 46th, rushing success rate, 32nd, passing success rate, 67th. And then when we get to the explosiveness, you kind of see the unbalance, right? They're 14th in overall explosiveness, and they're 123rd in rushing explosiveness and 3rd in passing explosiveness. Now, this is really, obviously, 123rd in rushing explosiveness is not great, but this offense is not built around that. It is built around their star quarterback, Preston Stone, and their ability to make plays down the field. Now, I've went into great detail about Preston Stone in the previous episode, and my opinion is that he is the best quarterback in the entire ACC, and it's not even really close. He genuinely possesses all the qualities to elevate his offense instead of being a game manager like some of the other quarterbacks in the ACC. Now, when I say that, I mean that's twofold, right? The coaching staff trusts him to make these pro-style throws down the field, and he is elite at every single level. And that is a huge difference maker when it comes to being in a tight game, being in a dogfight, mind you. And I know everybody's like, they're coming from, the American. Oh, there's no way they're going to be able to compete. The ACC. Yeah, I get all that. I get that. But the thing is, it's not like they're coming in and playing some brutal schedule to start the year. Their strength of schedule is the easiest in the ACC. It's 117th overall. Their only major game is Florida State, and that's at home. So, if this was like they were coming in and they had to play Clemson and, they had to play Miami and they had to play Florida State, and, then I'd be like, yeah, this is going to be a tough year for them. I don't know if they're going to be able to succeed. But I just don't see it that way. They are a really good team with really good returning production from elite units. And all that starts at the most important position in football, the quarterback position. Now, let's dive into the defense, because I really think this unit, like the rest of the team, is actually going even more underlooked. So from a defensive standpoint, they're 11th in defensive returning production, and they are 39th in S&P Plus defense last year. So their success rates are elite. Overall success rate, 10th. rushing success rate, 17th. Passing success rate, 8th. So they're elite across the board. They force teams to be behind the chains pretty much all game. Now, when we look at the explosive side of the ball, you know, they're not elite. They are a little bit below average, but they're also not abysmal. You know, they're 88th in overall explosiveness allowed, and they're 51st in rushing explosiveness allowed, and 89th in passing explosiveness allowed. So that, you know, they can improve upon those numbers, and I think they will. But that's not something that's going to shy me away, like, oh, well, they're not top 10 in allowing explosive plays. And the reason is because the other, you know, layer that we're going to look at on defense is a havoc standpoint. They're 13th overall in havoc rate, overall havoc rate. They're 15th in front seven havoc rate and 24th in defensive back havoc rate. So this is a defense that is chaotic, gets after the ball, and really can make a difference in a game. And that's why I think that the secondary is a complete X factor in how the season's going to go. So SMU is one of three teams to return six players with at least four forced incompletions. Now, a forced incompletion is a PFF stat that they track, and the other two teams are Boise State and TCU. Now, their defense, their secondary is not as good, but they are, you know, getting better, right? So the thing that really stands out to me for SMU is that their primary coverage is going to be cover three. Now, they play cover three at the third highest rate in college football last year, 49.6% of the time. So half of all their plays and coverage are going to be from a cover three standpoint. Well, that's great because they are also eighth in EPA per cover three attempt. So not only are they playing a coverage that they're really good at, they're playing it at a high frequency. And because of that, that also lets me know that you have a coaching staff that understands the athletes they have and where their strengths are. And this might be a hot take, but this is a top five secondary in the country by far. I feel that way wholeheartedly. Now, the returning production profile on its own merit would be enough to consider SMU as a contender in the ACC. And that's because, you know, they're one of very, like I said, five teams with that profile that fits. But when you factor in all the other things like the strength of schedule, you know, their biggest game is at home, you know, they have a lot of things that are really moving their direction. And then when I look at the volatile statistics, they're 2-0 in one score games. Their turnover margin was plus +3, which is 46 overall. And then their fumble luck is negative -0.072, which is basically average, 71st. So they're not going to get a ton of negative regression. You know, this team played really well last year and they dominated in a lot of facets. Now, the hardest part of their schedule, which I think is going underlooked, is they play Louisville, Stanford, and Duke on the road all three games in a row. Now, none of those teams, I mean, Louisville is predicted to be a solid team this year, and Stanford does have a ton of returning production from not great units, and then, you know, Duke has lost its entire coaching staff. But still, though, they have to go on the road 3 weeks in a row, and that is a tough stretch. So in my opinion, they will need to win two or three of those games. And if they can best Florida State, they'll be 7-1, probably 6-2, and they will be near the top of the ACC leaderboard. And that paired with, there are numerous teams in the ACC with negative regression and those volatile statistics coming towards them, really sets SMU up for a season that not a lot of people are talking about, and they really should be. And I know it's because it's the conference change, but this is a really good team, and they're really good at all the spots that matter. They have the continuity from a coaching standpoint, and then they have, you know, the best quarterback in the ACC. And so, and if we're being real here, there's not really any juggernauts in the ACC. Yes, Florida State, Clemson should both be good. Okay. Clemson hasn't been to the college football playoff in 5 years. And the last time they went, they got boat raced by Ohio State. And it wasn't even close. So they have done nothing to change that team. Dabo Swinney has said time and time again, you know, the transfer portal is the devil, you know, basically Bobby Boucher-esque, you know. So, and Florida State, you know, they had a really good year last year, but they're going to have some negative regression this year. And I do think they are really good, and they play an extremely tough schedule, mind you. So when I'm looking at the value here, you have SMU at plus 550 to make the ACC championship game. And then you have SMU to win the ACC championship game at plus 1600. Now, I really believe they're going to make the ACC championship game, especially if everything breaks right. They have a weak strength of schedule. They have good components. I really think we're going to see Louisville-esque last year, because the path to being able to make the championship game or the playoff or anything like that, that matters almost nearly as much as the team you have. If you don't have a good team, but you have a good path, that's not going to work. If you have a really good team, but the path is like full of obstacles, you know, you might trip up along the way. So if they make the ACC championship game and they have to play worst case scenario, Florida State or Clemson, there is no way that they're going to be more than a 10-point dog, probably, unless there's injuries or anything of that nature. And so if you were holding a plus 1600 ticket, I mean, you're going to be beyond ecstatic. Now, the other thing that stands out is SMU is plus 1100 to make the playoffs. So I think, obviously, you know, if they win the ACC championship, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, that's like one of the, you know, automatic qualifiers. But if they also go, you know, if they only lose one game and they maybe lose two games and it's the ACC championship and it is a good showing, they legitimately could still get in the top 12. Especially if you have other teams that are three loss teams, or, you know, teams that just get their doors blown off in their conference championship game, or, you know, anything like that, you know. So you really, you know, they really could get in there without having to win the ACC championship. Now, I know, like, this isn't just to be like contrarian, like, oh, we're taking a team that's, you know, a longer shot. I mean, they're projected to win 7.5 games. I mean, that's not like, oh, we took a team that's, you know, a four win team total. So that's pretty much it. They check all the boxes that I'm looking for: returning production, good quarterback, good coaching staff, solid schedule. And that's good enough for me. So that's going to be it for today. I have several other conference previews to do this week and going into the next week. And I'm going to be diving into like more nuanced thoughts, especially when it comes to the Heisman stuff. And, you know, I'm going to probably do another coordinator episode, which I know that was pretty deep, very dense, but I enjoyed it and I hope you enjoyed it too. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, whether it's to talk about the process, the data, the stats, if you have a suggestion, or you just want to, you know, say hi, you can always reach out to me on Twitter, or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. And then there will be a correlating article with this episode on my website, themittnermethod.com. And that's pretty much it, guys. Thanks for listening. And until next time, take care.